Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 3, reading through verse 6. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. May God bless to our understanding and to our obedience the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Please be seated. We've talked before about the universal tool that doesn't do everything just right, but that doesn't keep men from looking for that universal tool. You know, the one that you've seen before. It dices, it slices, I don't know all the cooking terms, maybe you ladies can remember them all, and it also does windows. But God has really provided us with a universal and essential tool for life. Not as simple as those tools that we look for in our daily habits that will do everything, but the Word of God is the tool of His dominion. It is that which meets every need and is perfectly fitted and suited for your every need. In this passage again, it sets before us the value of wisdom and the wise man in two different ways. And as he applauds that wisdom, so I want to place it before you, not because you have not heard it before, but simply because I don't think that we can have a strong an appreciation for the wisdom which comes from God that God requires of us. He continues to set before us the value of understanding his mind and of thinking his thoughts after him. And so he places before us the value of practical faith in the living God and in his word. This is wisdom, genuine faith in God and his word. And so as we commend wisdom in the words, or as the wisdom is commended for us in his word this evening, let's look at the text which is before us. We are told there, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And I would point out to you here that wisdom, or submission to God's word, is necessary for the success and prosperity of all human activity. Anything that mankind is involved in, everything that you are involved in as an individual, you were designed to do, and there is an instruction manual that came with you, which is the Word of God. And to read and understand that instruction manual is absolutely necessary for the success and the prosperity of accomplishing the goals which God has designed us to fulfill. God has created us in His own image, and as such, we share something of the nature of God. And part of that is that we are recreative. We are not creative in the sense that God is creative. God creates out of nothing. But what God has done, He has placed in our hearts and in our very disposition the desire and the necessity to take and to use what God has given to us and to be recreative after the image of God. And therefore, when God had created man and woman and placed them in the garden, he told them that they were to be fruitful, they were to multiply, and that they were to exercise dominion over the earth. And in this particular portion, we see that by wisdom, a house is built. And you say, but preacher, what's that got to do with all human activity? Well, as we begin to look at this, I want to consider the pervasive need for wisdom. And we want to ask ourselves the question, what is referred to in this proverb, verses 3 and 4, which speak to us about the building, the establishing, and the furnishing of a house? Are we simply speaking here about construction of a physical structure? Or is there something more that is involved? Well, if you are paying attention to the reading of the Word of God, I hope you understand But what is put before us here is a picture of all human activities, because as you look in Scripture and see the way the word picture of house is used, it is used for a variety of activities. For instance, in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, which we alluded to this morning, the Scripture tells us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, a wise man is like one who builds his house upon a rock. He's the one who hears the word of God and acts upon it. The foolish man building a house is one who hears the word of God but does not act upon it. Now, what is the picture there? Well, I think what the Lord is saying by using the words of building a house is that you need wisdom to build your individual life. Whatever activities that you are going about as you plan for the future, the ultimate future of eternity, the wise man goes back and builds upon the word of God. But it has to do with the way that you live your life and the way you govern your life, the way you make your plans and submit yourself to the teaching of the word of God. It's the way you build your testimony. It is the way that you conduct yourself in the world. And you need wisdom in order to do that. By wisdom, the house of your life is built and established and furnished. Both in eternity, as we plan for eternity, but in life also. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1, the Apostle Paul describes the body, the tabernacle of our spirit, as it were, as a house. If the earthly tabernacle should pass away, if the earthly house would pass away, we have an eternal dwelling in the heavenlies. And so he's speaking there of your life that is lived in the flesh. So it is not only in eternity, but in our very existence upon earth that our lives are built by wisdom. You need wisdom to build your family as well. That's why we read 2 Samuel chapter 7. You saw there that as David was given the promise, he wanted to build a house for God. He wanted to build a temple. And God says, no, you aren't going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. You know what the house was? It was the line of David, his family through whom the Messiah was to come. God established and built the house of David. And we see that you need wisdom to build your family. It is not just by the latest dictates and the latest fads of psychology by which a family is built. If you follow the fads of the season, your house is going to be destroyed. Look around you and see the homes that have been destroyed that have not been based upon wisdom. And remember that wisdom is an understanding of the Word of God, an application of the Word of God, and an implicit trust in God and His Word that He will do just as He says. I love the phrases which are repeated over and over again, that the one who puts his confidence and his trust in God shall never, ever be disappointed. Folks, if you don't want to be disappointed in your families, you establish your homes on wisdom. You need wisdom to conduct your vocation. In Exodus 31, verses 2 through 6, we see that those craftsmen who were to construct the temple were given wisdom by the Spirit of God so that they could work with their hands in metal and wood. And likewise, we see throughout the Scriptures the teaching of what an employer and an employee are to do in their vocations. That's the wisdom for conducting your vocation. Those of you who are homemakers in your home are given instruction that you might fulfill your calling according to the wisdom of God. And if you don't, then it will not be built to any of God's glory. You need wisdom to build legitimate social structures, that is, nations and communities. And here I would go back again to that portion from 2 Samuel chapter 7. When God speaks about building the house of David, he not only speaks of his family, But he also speaks of his dynasty and of his kingdom. And Solomon, recognizing that when he prayed as the temple which Solomon built for the Lord was dedicated unto God, Solomon understood that if there would come a time when his descendants would turn away, that his people must humble themselves and submit themselves to the Lord who manifested his presence there in Jerusalem, and then God would hear. But only as they were back in covenant with God and submitting to him, being wise, would that kingdom be established. In the words of Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets, when they turned away from God, when they sought their wisdom elsewhere, God said, "You're not my people. I'll cut you off," and the nation was destroyed. You can't build social structures apart from the wisdom of God. And if you think I'm wrong, look around. You know I'm not wrong. Look at what has happened in our own culture when we have thought of better, new, so-called new and improved ways to deal with society than is found in the Word of God. Look at the debate that is going on right now. Supposedly, the New Deal and everything that came from it was to eliminate poverty and misery as we know it and to bring in the Golden Age. And it has been a miserable failure. It has created more hardship and misery than it has ever solved. You need wisdom to build legitimate social structures. You need wisdom to build God's church. God's church will not be built by human machinations. God's church will not be built by human ability. God's word, God's church will be built when God's people, in simple faith, listen to the Word of God and practice it. I was blessed. I was going to give this as a testimony this evening, but I was blessed. In our vacation, we attended a church that we have attended for the last couple of years in Surfside Beach. It is a PCA church. It just so happens that they had a guest speaker, and he was preaching on equipping the saints for the work of service. It was a very edifying sermon. God used him powerfully. But he was confessing that in his time in the ministry, he was one that came up with every new gizmo that came down the pike. He had to try it to build the church. And he says it was a total failure. And when he finally realized the building of the church was done in the mundane, everyday application of the Word of God to life, in the faithful proclamation of the truth of God's Word, without fanfare, without frills, but simple faithfulness, as he told the congregation, "That's all you need to do." What a great blessing to hear that. I don't hear that very often in very many churches. But you see, that's all it is. If you want to see the success of the gospel and the prosperity of the church, take God at his word. Believe him and obey him. That's all it is. You need wisdom for building the church. Not the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God. You see, the world by its wisdom does not know God. So it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who are lost. Consider the pervasive need for wisdom. And as you do that, also affirm the inadequacy of any other approach. You need to affirm that because we are all prone to innovation. We are descendants of Adam, and though we have been converted and have been delivered from that sin nature and our fallen estate and brought into a new estate, there is still that tug of our fallen hearts toward the innovation of being our own masters and our own gods. And therefore, we think that somehow we can do things in new and improved ways. As long as we seek to accomplish God's end, then any means is legitimate, and nothing could be further from the truth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. We're told two things here. First of all, you can't build anything that's of any value that will last apart from it being upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. If your trust is not in him and your goal is not to serve him and to be pleasing to him and to be obedient to him, it doesn't matter what activities you're engaged in and no matter what outward success you may enjoy, it's nothing. It's empty. It's dross. In fact, it is rebellion against God, and God will call you to account and damn you to hell for the activities that you have done in defiance of him. Now those are strong words, aren't they? But what were you created for? You were created to serve the living God by faith, to give him all the glory. And any life that is lived for any other purpose than that is an abomination to God. It is an attempt to be saved by your works, and there's no other foundation upon which you can build your life, your family, or any institution, and that includes the civil government. A state that attempts to build itself upon human foundations is destined to perish in the flames of affliction. And every activity that is not built upon Christ is destined to perish. No other foundation than Christ is sufficient. But also notice in that passage that no other materials than what he supplies is adequate. Oh yes, you can build with wood, hay, and straw. But is what you are going to build going to last? And the Word of God tells us absolutely not. It's going to be consumed. You may indeed be saved, yet as by fire, but you will not have accomplished what God has called you to do. The means to the end must be God's as well as the end itself. You know, it is significant. I was reading this afternoon when I got home a short passage from Robert Murray McShane's Memoirs and Remains. And in that portion, he was set aside for a period of time because of very poor health. He was not healthy much of his life, and indeed, he died at a very early age, and yet was used mightily of God. And as he was set aside, he wrote to his friends, and he said, "While it is hard for me to be away from my congregation, it is my prayer that God will, in my absence, pour out such a blessing upon the congregation that the congregation and all those about may know that this is not the fruit of man's labors, but it is the work of a sovereign God." And when he heard that that is exactly what had transpired, he rejoiced before the Lord. Because in such a way, the means were seen to be of God, and God received the glory instead of Robert Murray McShane. He's a humble man. He understood. He said, "I need to be humbled. Sometimes I begin to believe the accolades of the people who love me." And he was grateful for the love of his people, but he was also very much aware of the pride that lurked in his heart. And so you see, it is the means as well as the ends. And I want to say something else here. I was Friday evening. I have tennis. I don't watch very much PBS, but there are a couple of things that I watch something of a regular basis. And I saw a little something that came on, and there was an interview where I believe it's David Frost was interviewing, and I can't remember his name, but he's a young man who is who works with the Christian Coalition, and I think chairs that, or maybe Tom would remember his name or know his. Is it, what is it? One more time. Ralph Reed. Okay. And I must say, I was very disappointed. I was disappointed for this reason, because David Frost seemed, I mean, there were some tremendous opportunities. Because David Frost would ask him, well, you come from a distinctively Christian position. He kept asking him questions. What sets you apart? How is it that you would view different things? And it seemed to me that he ran around himself trying to avoid the answers. He was trying to build, but he wasn't building on the foundation of Jesus Christ alone. He wasn't building with the right materials. For instance, he was asked very pointedly by David Frost, what is your view of homosexuality? We would say sodomy. Is it a sickness? Is it a choice? What is it? Dr. Reed wouldn't answer. He said, we don't have any trouble with that particular... What we object to, he said, is the giving of homosexuals a special rights as a people. But what is the matter with the wisdom of God? How do we view homosexuality? It is a sin against an almighty God who will call them to account. He had a national opportunity to give testimony to the Word of God. He's trying to build a kingdom, but he's trying to build it with wood, hay, and stubble. He was asked, what is your view of conversion? Boy, wouldn't you love to be asked on national television, what is your view of conversion? And he said, well, it's a personal matter. He says, but I think what it is, it's a commitment to a certain set of values that you have great convictions about. Nothing about what the values are. Folks, you can't build on that. Here's a man who professes, and I have no reason, but what I'm saying is we must avoid that. I don't know. I must say I was led to question this man's conversion. But I don't know. I can't read his heart. But what I do know is that what he is trying to do is doomed to failure. If he cannot set forth the teaching of Scripture for the reformation of life and of a nation, then let's not call it the Christian Coalition. Let's call it the traditional American Coalition and leave it at that. Now, I don't want to discourage you from being active in Christian Coalition if you are. I want you to be a witness, and I want you to call them to accountability, to affirm the inadequacy of any other approach than saying, thus saith the Lord, if we don't build on Jesus Christ and glorify him, then it's not worth doing. And if we don't take his word seriously and build with his truth, then we're building nothing at all. Let's not waste our time. You call them to that. You hold us to account. There was an unwillingness to stand on the wisdom of God. Consider the pervasive needs for wisdom. Affirm the inadequacy of any other approach, not only with your words, but with your actions. And engage in all of the activities that are necessary for that success. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Well, if you're going to build these human activities, you first of all need to be busy about erecting them. There are things to be done. There are all kinds of things to be done. And in our various stages of life, those responsibilities broaden. As children, what you are seeking to do now, young people, you are preparing yourselves, you are building your individual lives, equipping yourselves for those other activities that are yet in the future. Be diligent about that. I have a young couple here who will be married in just a couple of weeks. You're going to start building your home. You build that home on a sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Consistently build on that. And let no other foundation come in and use no other means than that which is given to you by the Word of God. Others of you are engaged in various vocations and activities. You have time for many things. You're seeking to build for the glory of God. Be busy about it. Things that we weren't able to do in the past, or maybe that we weren't aware of, be busy about the Lord's work. You know, one of the things that has been wrong, I believe, in the past is we've been very, very clear about what's wrong with things, but we haven't been busy about doing what's right. And you can't fight something with nothing. We need to build. And when you've begun to build, then you need to establish your houses in wisdom. You need to erect them, but then once they're erected, they need to be strengthened. They need to be protected. And this is one of the things that we do, our individual lives. I know I'm not saying anything different to you than you've heard before. You've heard me say this many, many times. Why does the Scripture repeat it? And why do we keep going back over it? Because you not only need to build and then walk away, what happens to your house when you ignore it? I'm engaged right now in replacing a floor in a bathroom because I let water leak for a couple of years. Just kind of let it go. My house needs to be made strong again. And that's what's going to happen to your life, to your family, to your vocation, to your social institutions in which you are engaged, to your church. You need to establish it, make it firm. You need to protect it from threats, internal and external. And you need to adorn your houses by wisdom. Learn what is important. Learn what is valuable. We were talking about this as we go back. Bunny and I will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary come July. And we look back over the years and thank God for His mercies and His blessings to us. And in early years, we watched other families as they adorned their physical dwelling places with many different things. And we were not able to do so. But in the process, God taught us many different things, and we have found that the greatest adornment that we have in our home are the children that God has blessed us with. They're the most precious, and those, what shall I say? They're the furnishings that are the most useful and precious to us. It didn't have anything to do with what we had hanging on our walls or what kind of furniture we had in our home. In fact, for many years, we didn't have any furniture except for a spool that telephone wire came on and a captain's chair that didn't have any legs. I can still remember having a Bible study in my home. I got the captain's chair, which didn't have any legs. I was just sitting there with my feet straight out in front of me, and everybody else was out on the carpet. We didn't have much to adorn our physical dwelling. But you know what we had was we had the grace of God adorning our home. And that, above all, was the most valuable. And it's wisdom that teaches you that. But then in the possessions which God gives to you, it is also proper. It doesn't matter. Bunny was instructing our oldest daughter a little bit earlier. And she says, it's not a matter of how much you earn. It's how much you save. If you earn $10,000 a month and are in debt at the end of the month, you're worse off than the person who earns $1,000 a month and has saved $100 at the end of the month. Now that's wisdom. That's wisdom. It isn't how much you earn, it's the use that you make of it. And wisdom adorns your house, whether it's your individual life, your family, your physical dwelling place, your vocation, your institution. What is it that adorns your home? Wisdom will determine that. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of the Word of God. Now, obviously, we are not going to go on. We'll come back and do verses 5 and 6 next week. But I would just encourage you to understand it is wisdom by which all human activities enjoy success and prosperity. Wisdom which submits itself in faith to hearing the Word of God and to actually applying it by faith in all of these different facets. And it's pervasive. The need for wisdom is pervasive. And as we do so, we must be cautious. We need to keep coming back and to look at ourselves and to understand and to affirm that there is no other basis for building anything that is of any lasting value. And you may say, but wait a minute, preacher. We see lots of unbelievers who build very successful businesses and to do all of these things. And let me ask you the question. In the day of judgment, will it stand? It's an illusion. The success is an illusion. It will not stand. And then we need to engage in those activities which are necessary for success. We need to be about the business of building. Sometimes that involves tearing down first, that's true. But we need ultimately to build. We need to establish what has been built. And then we need to furnish and adorn that which is built, all by wisdom according to the precepts of the Word of God and by faith in Him. May God bless and adorn your homes, your activities. May He crown your works with success. And may you give Him the praise and the glory. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Your word has been sent forth. We trust that it has gone forth with clarity and with power. What I have muddled with my weak attempts and my failures, would You make clear by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, would You forgive us for our vain hope and confidence in other building materials and even other foundations. Lord, we pray that You would establish our work, that You will accomplish that which concerns us by the power of Your Spirit, that You would write Your word upon our hearts. And Lord, though the world may come and see the walls which we build and laugh, as the enemies of Nehemiah did, as they looked at the wall that they were building, they said, even if a fox jumps upon it, it will crumble. In some ways, that was true, Lord, just from the outward appearance. But because You had ordered that the wall should be built, and because it was built for Your glory and in accordance with Your precepts by faith, it did prevail, Father, and You strengthened the walls and You protected Your people. And so may our hope be not in our activities, but in Your blessing upon Your divine appointments. Even as David was bold to pray that You would establish his house because You'd promised it, so, Lord, we understand that You have promised to establish our ways as we commit them to You. And so we are bold to ask. We beg that You would bless us, Father, with faithfulness, first of all, that we may know, understand, and apply Your word. And that You would give us faith that we may act upon it, and as we do so, that You will crown that work with Your blessing, that there would be fruit that would remain, all to the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's conclude our service by singing hymn number 569. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do His will, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and He thy needs shall fill. Hymn 569. Let's stand together as we conclude.
Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, and He thy needs shall fill. Delight thee in the Lord, and He will grant thy heart's request. To Him commit thy way in faith, and thus thou shalt be blessed. And he shall make thy righteousness shine brightly as the light, and as the burning noonday sun, thy judgment shall be bright. Rest in the Lord with quiet trust, wait patiently for him. The wicked most triumphant seem, let not thy faith grow dim.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.